Hey, brave one. Welcome to another episode of the Aware and Prepared podcast. I'm your host, Mandy Pratt, a trained domestic violence victim advocate, self-defense teacher, and professional speaker who helps those feeling vulnerable learn emotional self-defense and how to be street smart. You deserve to live in peace and safety. Stick around to hear safety tips that will help us enjoy empowered lives. Let's leave worry behind so we can be savvy, aware, and prepared. All right. So, everybody, we have a very special podcast episode today. We have Dr. Manny Tao, who is joining us, and I'm going to share with you his bio, and then he's going to jump on here with us. So, Dr. Tao is a clinical and forensic psychologist specialized in threat assessments and active threat management and a certified threat manager. He has been extensively used in a workplace, school place, personal violence, and threat management consultant throughout the United States. He also works with many recognized federal, state, county, city, and private organizations in the development of their violence prevention programs and the implementation of threat management teams, along with providing expert consultation and testimony for attorneys. Dr. Tao has over 25 years of experience performing threat assessment and threat management services in the public and private sectors. He has presented nationwide for professional organizations in the HR, risk management, security, legal, and mental health fields, and has appeared in print, radio, TV, and internet media. And a huge congratulations to him for having just received the 2024 Excellence in the Pursuit of Justice Award from the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern California District. So congratulations and welcome to you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. And to add to that, I really am a fun guy at parties. Honestly, I am. But for some reason, I never get invited, right? So.
That's awesome. Well, I heard you speak before at actually the domestic violence advocacy training that I was receiving. And I remember still, this was many years ago, you sharing this presentation specifically about an incident that happened in Santa Barbara. And I remember trying to wrap my brain around how the perpetrator ended up this way and able to do these things. So basically, this was back in 2014, right? In Santa Barbara?
You're talking about Elliot Roger, who rampaged throughout Isla Vista, you know, UC Santa Barbara area.
Right. And he killed six students, right?
And suicided, yes. And yeah. Injured a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So I remember you teaching us, you know, what was in his mind and how he had gotten to this point. So if you can help me and our listeners kind of understand how somebody gets to this point and help us understand that a little bit.
Sure. So Elliot Roger had posted about 6, 7, or 8 videos on YouTube. And each video started to escalate in its content about his dissatisfaction with basically the world and how he felt mistreated. He's actually a very entitled person and comes from a, I would say, privileged lifestyle. His father is David Roger, and he was the assistant director for Hunger Games 2. And so he was exposed to that Hollywood lifestyle to some degree, if you will, from the director or producer standpoint, in which Elliot actually had gone to multiple, you know, premieres, movie premieres, both in Europe and here in the U.S., drives around, you know, black 3-series BMW. He boasts about the clothes that he wore, you know, including his $300 Armani glasses, et cetera. But yet he still felt that he was not being treated fairly. And he actually had a manifesto, a legacy token of 137 pages long, talking about my twisted world. And when you see his lifestyle and his words and his videos, they were very incongruent. They did not match up at all. And what was going on, I believe, inside his head was a very deranged, delusional perspective of you know, diagnostically, we call it narcissistically oriented. But when I'm on the stand in various court proceedings, I call it maladaptive high self-focus. When people have such maladaptive high self-focus, they also have concurrently large sense of entitlement, huge sense of entitlements. And also they have little empathy. Empathy is the ability to put yourself in someone else's shoes and see things from a perspective. And when he didn't get his way, basically he's kind of seen as the king of the incels. And incels is a contraction for the subgroup of people called the involuntarily celibate. These are the people who, the beta males, if you will, grousing and complaining about the alpha males, how they get all the girls and why can't I have a girl? And I'm in college and I'm still a virgin and I don't even have a girl's name in my phone contact, et cetera. These beta males, these incels, such as Elliot Roger, would complain about all these other guys, even though they're ugly, they're not sophisticated like him. He considered himself a supreme gentleman, if you will. That's actually quotes from his videos and his manifesto, if you will. But he couldn't believe how he doesn't have a girl. Why don't these women, see him for who he is, a supreme gentleman, and why doesn't he have access to him? And what we see is a very similar dynamic echoing through the subculture where we have young males that take the same stance and as a result have this whole misanthropic view, right? This whole thing against humanity, especially women, if you will. Yeah, targeted sororities. And actually, the sorority he targeted, he actually went up to that sorority. And what he did actually was he killed two of his roommates, killed a third person in his apartment that was a person visiting the roommates. Then afterwards gets in his car and drives into the area, goes to the sororities, knocking on the door, pounding on the door. Fortunately, they did not answer. He then leaves, but then he comes across two co-eds, I think it's Mackenzie and Valerie were their names, and ends up shooting them fatally. And then drives in a small area, trying to run over people, rattling, shooting people, and I think killing about six or seven people. Then ultimately, he takes his own life out. He had basically escalated from thinking about it and talking about it now to doing something about it. There's an old Chinese saying, you call a man a horse once, he ignores you. You call a man a horse 100 times, he gets irritated with you. You call a man a horse 1,000 times, he starts thinking about buying himself a saddle. Elliot Roger, when he's putting out all these videos and obviously this 137-page manifesto, he was very fixated. And the problem with fixations is that a fixation is like a obsession on steroids, right? It's like a super obsession. We have obsessions, whether it's a favorite sports team or cooking recipe or something like that. That's within normal range until it starts to affect our livelihood and our social support networks. But he had fixations. And the problem, and there's three types of fixations, right? There's the delusional fixation, such as a paranoid delusional, right? Not based in reality. There's the obsessive, who's fixated on sports team, cooking recipes, those kind of things. And then there's the ones with extreme overvalued beliefs, such as the jihadists and the terrorists. Elliot Roger had a combination of delusional and extreme overvalued belief fixations, and he operationalized them. What we saw was, again, thinking and talking now to do something about it. And it's no coincidence that his last video, which he posted on a Friday, he called it Elliot's retribution. And there's a big difference between, and that wording is very specific because there's a big difference from my perspective, big operational difference between those people who express retaliation versus those who express retribution. There's a difference. Retaliation is pretty much goal-oriented. You wronged me. You stole money from me. You stole my girl. I'm now going to have to take revenge. After I take my revenge, I'm done. I'm good to go. It's pretty much a goal-oriented, time-limited behavioral sequence. But with retribution, that involves narcissistic injury. It cut deep. It cuts so deep that you end up having this idea of I'm going to wipe out everybody because that's what they deserve, if you will. And again, it's no coincidence that he had titled his video Elliot's retribution. He had posted that on a Friday, and unfortunately, Saturday, he went ahead and perpetrated the rampage. We see oftentimes, and this is an adaptation from Weston and Calhoun's 2003 work on their pathway to violence, They identified six increasing phases that we commonly see. And I did a minor adaptation, but for the most part, it's still Weston and Calhoun's work from 2003. But this pathway in the six stages looks like this. The first stage, if you will, is some kind of grievance of some sort. I'm not talking from an HR perspective, but actually they're torqued off about something. The second stage then escalates into violent ideations. Either it's harm to others or harm to self, et cetera. The third phase then gets escalated into research and planning attack. The fourth becomes pre-attack preparation. They're now procuring weapons, if you will, supplies to build a bomb, harvesting and scraping social media personal information off of social media for people to exploit. The fifth stage is probing and breaching behaviors, surveillance, dry runs, that kind of stuff, practice runs, if you will. And then the sixth stage is being the attack itself. And we saw Elliot, Roger really all over the place on that whole, on the pathway. We also take a look at his predatory behaviors, the calculated behaviors. He's not what I call an affective aggressor. He's more of a parasitic aggressor. There's based upon Reed Molloy's excellent work from 10, 15 years ago, he had seen the aggressors as being these two types, right? An affective aggressor versus a predatory aggressor. The affective aggressor, hide head, heightened autonomic nervous system arousal, right? Flushness in the face, eyes bulging, tremulous, looks like the head's going to explode. Public displays and grandstanding and showboating. And then oftentimes a time-limited behavioral sequence. And oftentimes it's related to low self-esteem and overcompensation. The predatory aggressor is one who has, who's cool, calm, and collected. They don't have heightened ANS arousal. They don't have necessary public displays. They have private rituals, basically divide and conquer, a lot of manipulative dynamics behind closed doors, if you will. It's often a time unlimited behavioral sequence. Think of a stalker fixated on a person for weeks, months, years. And oftentimes they have high self-esteem and a sense of entitlement. It's been my experience in the past decades plus that I see that as a more of a continuum. It's not really an either or. And I've seen lots and lots of cases where the subject is a combination of both, which I call them the parasitic aggressor. They're right in the middle of that continuum where they have significant affective aggression traits and significant predatory aggression traits. These are what I consider narcissistic nuisance. They're toxic people. They're very manipulative, but they know where that red line is before they step over, so they can't be immediately fired or immediately arrested. Mm-hmm. They're constantly, effing with your mind, if you will, mm-hmm. playing with you, et cetera. Those are the parasitic aggressors. Elliot Roger came across as a parasitic aggressor. He was reactionary because he wasn't getting what he wanted because, he thought he deserved so much more, but mm-hmm. also very calculating, very predatory, as we saw in his videos and his 137-page legacy token, his manifesto. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate. I believe Elliot's, and the incels are a very small subpopulation of the larger disgruntled, folks population, if you will.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, what I've seen, and we talked about this before, what I've seen in our current culture is a deterioration in a lot of values. That moral compass is not as, robust and actually hard to find in a lot of cases. And there's four dynamics I've seen over the past, 5 years, maybe 10 years, have really exacerbated the situation of targeted violence, whether it's mass shootings to domestic violence to et cetera. And those four things are, number one, I've seen a deterioration. And as a result, we see a high sense of entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that things are owed to them without the sweat equity, which mm-hmm. is really unfortunate. Yeah. I remember the days when I was growing up, you go 125%, you go above beyond. Nowadays, I'm seeing people doing just barely enough, and people who don't even do enough, expecting to be treated as if someone did more than enough. Mm-hmm. So number one, I've seen a high sense of entitlement, which leans towards narcissism, or mm-hmm. From a more operational word, I guess the definition mm-hmm. would be maladaptive, high self-focus. Mm-hmm. The second thing I've seen is cognitive laziness. There's been a deterioration in critical thinking. People are more easily buying into whether they're bullet points, mainstream media, you know, whether you're politically left-leaning or right-leaning, still, I'm not seeing critical thinking. As a result, people just buying into the mob mentality and basically to the level now of just tabloid headlines, if you will. And that becomes the basis of their thoughts, which is lacking critical thinking. The third and fourth are very related. And I've seen a significant deterioration in robustness and resiliency. Robustness is the ability to adapt to adverse conditions. Resiliency is the ability to spring back from adverse conditions. A good example would be, let's say, back in the days of Muhammad Ali, and I think it was Ken Norton. I think it was Ken Norton in the boxing match. Ken Norton had a longer wingspan, so he had a great advantage. And Muhammad Ali had to figure out a different approach, how to deal with that. And robustness would be seen as how many punches Muhammad Ali can take from Ken Norton before he hits the mat. And resiliency is how fast Muhammad Ali gets off the mat to win the match, right? And unfortunately, I am seeing a gross deterioration in robustness and resiliency. I even remember some years ago, I think it was Harvard Law School, and I stand corrected, please, by anyone, but I think it was Harvard Law School, because they're a preeminent law school, that they actually postponed some exams because a lot of their law students were triggered by what was going on in the culture or society. I forgot what was the headlines back then. And I thought to myself when I heard that was, oh my gosh, I definitely don't want to hire that attorney, you know, because I need someone who's, you know, got thick skin, robust, resilient, you know, and all that stuff. And then I'm hearing, that's just one example of many. And the more I start hearing about people getting triggered by this, I actually did a threat management team training for this one group up in a different part of California. And we had a lot of different mental health professionals involved, which is good, right? Because threat assessment training for mental health professionals helps them also enhance their suicide assessments, because current suicide assessments are really poor. And a threat assessment is much more comprehensive. And I could talk about that a little bit later if you want. Some of the things I look for, like warning signs, so you can remind. But at the very beginning, there were a handful of people that talked about they need trigger warnings. Please, before you get into anything, give us a trigger warning. And I was going to say something, and I decided not to because I was, you know, I was the presenter. But I was seeing in the chat, this was virtual and in person. I was seeing in the chat how other people were saying comments like, well, you know, if you're going to be triggered by some of this content, maybe you don't need to be here in this training, because this training is specifically for threat assessments. And if you're not able to handle even the training materials, maybe you shouldn't be dealing with people who have a threat potential.
Interesting.
Because one of the issues that we have in threat assessment and threat management is you have to know yourself. You need to know your limitations. If you get easily spooked by something, refer to somebody else, right? So unfortunately, I've been seeing, you know, a lot of that oversensitivity, which fits in again with the number one, higher sense of entitlement these days. That's not helping anyone. Number two, cognitive laziness. There's a lack of critical thinking. And then number three and four, a deterioration in robustness and resiliency. So circle back, to circumlocute back to Elliot Rodger. He was kind of the perfect storm of all sorts of issues, right? The high sense of entitlement, his the whole involuntary celibate movement, the incel stuff. And then he was feeling quite disconnected. And unfortunately, I mean, he was seeing a therapist, but he wasn't really connected enough. Because one of the main dynamics we see is not that a person is being bullied or they're a loner that causes them to be a you know, mass shooter. What we're seeing is actually disconnectedness. The worst thing you can do to a child is not sexual abuse, not physical abuse, but rather you ignore them. You treat them as an it object or a thing.
Well, those are all horrible themselves, but
They are definitely, but we see lots of people who've been involved in lots of ritual sexual abuse, but they still come out okay. And they become champions.
That's amazing.
People have been physically abused and, you know, ritual physical abuse and still come out as champions. But people who are disconnected, there's like a lot of things missing. And so the best prophylactic, if you will, best preventative measure is connectedness. And we see that with the Secret Service Initiative research they did some years ago. Agents Fossequel and Fine interviewed living active shooters. You know, they were in prison. There was no profile that was common, but there was some common answers to these questions. That was, if an adult would have asked you if you were going to commit a mass shooting, would you have told them the truth? They said yes. And if that adult says, let's not do that, let's figure out something different together, would you have gone with that? They said yes.
Oh my gosh.
Supports the idea of connectedness is the best preventative measure. That can be done through coaches, teachers, benevolent adult authority figures, those kind of things, et cetera. Not about bullying or being a loner or being intimidated. Bullying has been around in schools for a very long time.
Yes.
I think bullying has been around for 8 to 10,000 years, ever since a second child was born into a family. So it's not a new phenomenon, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So to close it out on Elliot Rodger. So he really does show a lot of the things that we look for when it comes to a threat potential.
All right. So that wraps up the first part of my conversation with Dr. Tao. He's going to come back and continue on next week. Lessons that we learned today were, number one, we learned what an incel is, I-N-C-E-L. They are involuntary celibate. These beta males complaining how the alpha males get all the girls and why can't they have a girl? So they can't believe how they are being wronged against humanity, especially women. Then we learned that a fixation is like an obsession on steroids. It's a super obsession. This affects our livelihood and social support networks. This is when a fixation is dangerous. And he described three different types. So there's a delusional fixation where the person's not based in reality. There's the obsessive who's fixated on like sports, that type of stuff. And then there's the ones with extreme overvalued beliefs like terrorists and jihadists. So Dr. Tao told us that Elliot had a combination of delusional fixation and extreme overvalued belief fixations. And he operated on them, right? He took action. So now Elliot was talking about doing something. And then he decided that he needed retribution for how he had been wronged. And then we learned about the pathway to violence and its six increasing phases. Number one is having a grievance. Number two is violent ideations. It's either harm to yourself or others. Number three is you research or plan the attack. Number four is pre-attack preparations, like you might buy a weapon or such. Number five is surveillance and dry runs, so you actually start practicing. And then number six is the attack itself. And then we also learned that there's two types of aggressors. So there's an affective aggressor, and they have the heightened nervous system where they look like they're upset visibly. You can see it. And then the predatory aggressor, who's calm, cool, collected, he does not, or she does not, have a heightened nervous system. And Dr. Tao was saying that Elliot Rodger is more of a combination of those. And a combination of those types of aggressors is called a parasitic aggressor. And Dr. Tao called that a narcissistic nuisance, a toxic person. They're very manipulative and they know how to trick authorities. So they know how to play with our minds. All right. Then he talked about how do we get here, right? How do we get all these types of active shooters? And he says that our moral compasses are not as robust as they used to be. And then goes on to talk about four different dynamics exacerbating the situations of targeted violence, whether that's like an active shooter or domestic violence. So the four are, number one, a high sense of entitlement, and that leans towards narcissism. Number two, a cognitive laziness, lacking critical thinking. And then number three and four were deterioration in robustness and resiliency. So he said the difference between those two are robustness is the ability to adapt to an adverse condition, and then resiliency is the ability to spring back from the adverse condition. Dr. Tao shared with us that disconnectedness is dangerous. So being bullied or a loner is not necessarily making up a mass shooter, but a child who is neglected and disconnected usually does when they're looking at all these different people like this. We learn that connectedness is the best prevention measure that can be done. So parents, listen up. Teachers, listen up, right? Family members, friends. So we want to focus on connectedness, getting these kids connected. And Dr. Manny Tao is going to be back with us next week, and he's going to continue on in this conversation. So I really hope that you stay tuned for next week. So make sure that you're following the show. If you're an Apple, go up to the top right-hand corner, click that. You'll see a drop-down menu and you'll see follow the show. Thanks for being a fan of the Aware and Prepared podcast. Show it some love by leaving a review. And don't forget to hit follow so you can catch future episodes. To book me to speak and transform your audience, go to my website, awareandprepared.life, L-I-F-E. To join my VIPs who get each episode's lessons learned, resource links, and more sent directly to you, sign up is also at my website, where you'll find a free gift when you do. The link is in the show notes. I'll talk with you next week. Remember, you are worthy of a safe and peaceful life.